Hi, welcome to another edition of our Technology Scouting podcast. I am your host, Eric Hollett. I am the head of technology scouting at EZOSI. Today we're going to look at a topic called allergen immunotherapy. So allergen immunotherapy is a relatively new technology, and there's been a lot of spotlight that's been brought to it over the last couple months with Nestle acquiring a company that produced Palforzia, which is a peanut allergen that was approved by the FDA a few months ago. That's really allowed the first ever food allergen specifically for peanut to be FDA approved. And that's really brought a lot of attention in the investment world, but then also in innovation. So there's a lot of biotech companies and larger pharmaceutical companies diving into this food allergen, also in overall allergen immunotherapy. Now, when we think about allergy immunotherapy, we really think of the traditional allergen immunotherapy, which is a subcutaneous administration route, and it uses allergy vaccines or allergy shots. It involves an administration of gradually increasing quantities of specific allergens to a patient with medicated conditions until the dose is reached effective at reducing the disease and severity from natural exposure. AIT is a modern, beneficial, and cost-effective treatment approach for people who suffer from various different allergic conditions. So as I mentioned before, the subcutaneous, which is your allergen shots, vaccine. We have the sublingual routes, which is going to be highly effective in medicated diseases in patients with limited spectrums, you know, one to two of the main allergies. Goals with allergen immunotherapy is really to reduce allergen symptoms, side effects, cost of long-term medications, and really be more of improving the symptom control, the improving the quality of life, development of persistence diseases. We're looking for the prevention side, and then also preventing the development of asthma. So that's one thing that has the capability of arising with different allergies is development of asthma. Now there's five main delivery applications. We're going to talk about the four out of the five today. The subcutaneous injections have been around for a long time. That's your allergen shots. But we're really going to look at four of the more emerging technologies and delivery applications. So the first is going to be your sublingual application, and those are in the forms of drops or tablets. They're self-administered. The tablet is delivered under the tongue as well as the drop. The clinical efficiencies are demonstrated in a lot of different studies. It's less effective than subcutaneous, but the administration process is more self-administered. And sometimes the only way that these particular allergen immunotherapies can be delivered is in a clinical setting, but this sublingual allows for someone to self-administer. Now, the next one is your oral administration and swallowing. So this is really introducing different types of foods at a small dose. And there's a lot of different technologies that are being out there or being developed or products. One of them is toothpaste. So they're using toothpaste to infuse it with ingredients, for example, peanut. And as kids start brushing their teeth, it's releasing a little bit of this peanut to make the kid more tolerant or build up that defense of peanut allergen. So there's toothpaste, there's different types of children's cookies out there, different foods that are introducing this. And this is done in oral administration. And it's effectively for a few forms of food allergens, but not all food allergen sources. And there is a higher rate of side effects because it is more of a new and advanced form of delivery. And then the other delivery, well, the last two delivery mechanisms are epictyoitis. So that is more of a patch that is worn on a person where it delivers a little bit of the food allergen, for example, at a long period of time. So it's more of a patch. It goes right on the transdermal, so your skin. And that's been a relatively new type of technology that they're using for administration. And a couple of examples, they have these adhesive patches. The microneedle patch, which we've done a podcast on, introduces a little bit of that administration aspect of it. And it is an experimental form, so it is relatively new. And the clinical efficiency has actually not been demonstrated. So there's a lot of scientific papers and continuous research on this particular administration. And then the last one is kind of subcutaneous, but it's the ultrasound-guided injection. So basically taking the subcutaneous injection model, allowing the user to have a more guided, ultrasounded guide so you can identify the areas that need to be injected. So the ultrasound-guided injected is a little bit more advantage over the traditional subcutaneous injection. But this is also another experimental delivery application, and there's still clinical efficiencies that are still unknown. There is a little bit of information that provides the accuracy and the benefits of that, but that's still an unknown delivery application as well. So now we're going to go through a little bit of an overview of each one of these delivery applications. And we'll start with the sublingual immunotherapy, and we're going to look at tablets. So a lot of people are familiar with some of the seasonal tablets that are used. They're dissolved under the tongue. The delivery application itself is really only for seasonal allergy types. So pollen, ragweed, grass, those type of things. And that's really the only products that are to market right now. And it's placed under the tongue till it dissolves. The frequency of delivery is 3 days a week to daily dosage, so it's quite frequent. And the dosage amount is usually one tablet. The length of this treatment can actually go for 3 years or longer. So the idea is building the tolerance and introducing the allergen to the patient. But the goal is that after, you know, 3 years, potentially longer, the person can slowly wean themselves off this type of immunotherapy. And the next one within the same application is the drops. So those are also seasonal. Ragweed, timothy grass, dust mites, pollen, those types of things. This is also administered under the tongue. The frequency is every 3 to 7 days, so it's a little less frequent, and the dosage amount is anywhere from 2 to 3 drops. The length of treatment is relatively the same, your 3 years, potentially more. And then getting into oral immunotherapy, which is relatively new, their allergen type is focused on food. And, you know, food allergens, and I mentioned before the Palforzia, which is the only peanut FDA approved immunotherapy. And this is given little amounts of food allergens to eat. And I mentioned the toothpaste, the different types of foods, cookies, things like that, that are introduced to children. And this is daily doses for up dosing and also maintenance phases. So there is a little bit different approach with this, where you're actually two phases of dosing. One is called the up dosing and the maintenance phases, where you're getting a little bit more of the allergen introduced to the patient itself. And the dosage amount, this is relatively a new and emerging application, so there is not a best dose to give any allergen. It's really unknown. So that's a kind of a continuous advancement. And the length of treatment with a lot of the studies that they're doing is several months to years. And this is with different phases, it could possibly be indefinitely. So it's still really an unknown approach. But the idea is that this could be something that could be done not having to go to the clinic. However, they are recommending these types of immunotherapies, these oral immunotherapies, to be monitored by a clinician or a physician. So they currently are, you know, being given to patients in a clinical setting, but it's more of an oral delivery. And then the last kind of delivery application, as I talked about, is the percutaneous. And this is the skin. So this is the patch, the microneedle patch that I mentioned earlier in the discussion. And there's no FDA approved yet, but there is a peanut one that's in phase 3. It's from Vaskin. That's the product. And it's currently in phase 3. There was a little bit of a roadblock for them during phase 3. So not a safety concern, but they didn't adequately provide the measures needed for clinical approval or FDA approval. But for this, the goal for administration is exposing the tolerance, promoting immune cells in the skin. And they put it, as I mentioned, to an adhesive dermal patch containing a small microgram dose of the food protein. And then this starts with a small initial dose that is increased over time by wearing the patch or longer periods of the day. And the frequency is once a week, one patch applied to the skin. And then this one, the length of treatment is supposed to be around 4 weeks. So it is cutting the length of treatment as far as the different types of dosage, but that's a very up-and-coming delivery application as well. Now that we looked at the delivery applications, we're going to take a quick look at what the regulatory or regulation side looks like. So in Europe, there's been a lot more scientific research on allergen immunotherapies. They're a little bit farther along than the states are. And there is the European Academy of Allergy and Clinical Immunotherapy, which is the EAACI. They've actually created some guidelines and recommendations as far as administering these allergen immunotherapies in a clinical practice. As far as food allergies, there's very little recommendations or guidelines for these delivery applications across the board, meaning globally. Europe is farther along, as I mentioned, but as far as the United States, there's very limited instructions or guidelines for clinical practice. A lot of it is based on the physician's recommendation and also ideal use cases presented during clinical trials for some of these very recent FDA approvals, as I mentioned, with Palforzia. One of the big opportunities, though, for the regulation side is really unifying and bringing some sort of guidelines and recommendations as a standard protocol based on the delivery application. So if you're looking to utilize a oral immunotherapy drug, the age of the person, the severity of their allergens, there's not a consistent approach between physicians and clinics. You may go to one, they may administer it a certain way. You go to the other, there may be recommendations, but they administer it a certain way. So there's really not a unified recommendation in the United States to say, I'm going to use this delivery application. I have this allergen. I'm going to use this potential drug. How is it going to be administered? And then the second is, people who have allergens, if they go for, you know, a certain type of checkup or go to a physician's office for some sort of medical care, there's not a standard that says if this person has this, they can't have this type of drug, or they need to have this type of dosage based on they could have a reaction to it. So there's little around people who do have allergens, and if they're taking one of these allergen immunotherapies, how those could contradict with other medications or drugs that they potentially could take. So really standardizing that as well is an opportunity for the regulatory side. We'll wrap up today's podcast by just talking a little bit about what the product pipeline looks like. So I mentioned before that peanut allergy immunotherapy drugs are really kind of leading the way within clinical trials, but a couple companies, the DBV Technologies, they were the Viaskin, they were working on the patch, and they're working at the peanut. They also have a product for cow's milk, hen egg, and then they're also looking at getting some of those approved in 2021 to 2022. I did mention before the Viaskin peanut is actually in phase 3, but they did run into a little bit of a hiccup on that. Another company that's got more pollen, and these are sublingual products, this is Hal Allergy. They have some liquid, so the drops, they're looking for mites, trees, and grasses, so more of those kind of seasonal specific allergens. And then I did mention before the Palforzia, that's the peanut allergen. That's by Immune Therapeutics, which was acquired by Nestle. They've already been approved, but they also have other allergen for egg and also multi-nut in their product pipeline as well. There's also a company called Blue Willow Biologics, and they're looking at different types of allergen immunotherapies for oral administration. And then there's another company called Energis, and they are focused on ragweed, dust mites, birch within their allergen immunotherapy, and their birch is in phase 2. The other ones are starting their preclinical and discovery phases. And then the last little bit is there's a company called Curex, which is more of it's called the Curex Allergen Company. They're more of the self-diagnostic or depicting the self-prick test for home. So that is something that's a little bit different, not a drug, but more of a home diagnostic type of kit. They're relatively new to the industry within that particular space, but it eliminates doctor's visits and it can test different types of allergens as well as, so I think it's 40 different environmental allergens, you know, pollen, dust mites, and then also 28 foods. So it's kind of an entry level for somebody who might think they have allergens to be able to self-diagnose themselves. Obviously, it's recommended to verify that with a doctor's visit for adequate delivery and adequate medicines being used. But they do work in the telemedicine space too, so you do have the ability to engage with a physician who can help customize immunotherapy treatment plan. But that's one that's a little bit different. It's more on the self-diagnostic side of it. But this market is definitely emerging, and I think with the emergence of Palforzia, which I mentioned before, that company was acquired by Nestle, this is definitely an emerging space, and there's a lot of opportunities in this space for technology advancement, and also, I mentioned before, the regulatory side, bringing some standardization for guidelines and best practices, not only for the delivery application, but also patients who do have allergies, you know, combining the different reactions that could happen if they're on a specific allergen immunotherapy, how those particular drugs could counteract with the different medication or drug that they're on. So standardizing some of those clinical practices with patient information and specific protocols taken if a patient does come in on one of these allergen immunotherapy drugs. But thank you so much for joining us on this month's podcast on allergen immunotherapy. Definitely keep an eye out for further podcasts on different areas. Once again, also visit EZASI at www.ezasi.com for any of your innovation needs. Thank you so much.